Welcome to Orchestrated, a Musio podcast where we discuss the past, present, and future of music creation to explore exactly what it means to be a musician in the modern era. I'm Chris Hazel.
I'm Mike Patty.
And I'm Steve Goldshine.
And we're glad to have you all with us. So it's the first week of 2024, and we're kind of getting all of our ducks in a row to do some big things with Musio in the new year. And as we continue to explore the latest technology to add helpful tools for music creators, there's sort of one exploding area of tech that we don't really know what to do with, but it looms large enough that it's unavoidable, and that's artificial intelligence. AI is kind of a hot button topic, especially in the world of music and arts, and for good reason. There are a ton of questions about it, from like, you know, how it'll impact the way that people learn music to how it affects music professionals, all the way down to things like copyright issues regarding the existing music that it's trained on. But despite all of that, it's coming. And in a lot of ways, it's already here. It's sort of like the further integration of AI into the world of music is inevitable. So as a music tech company, it's an especially pertinent and nuanced thing that we're kind of obligated in a way to consider. So today we wanted to have a hopefully equally nuanced conversation about it. And it's actually kind of becoming a bit of a theme for the content this month. So like, Mike, you're going to do a vlog later on this month that sort of talks about our thought process around integrating AI into Musio, right? Mm-hmm. But like before anyone gets all up in arms about it, I'm just going to go ahead and reiterate, like, we're not sure if we're going to do it or even how we would do it. So it's definitely like not a foregone conclusion.
Yeah. So Chris, why don't I maybe give some context as to the reason why we're doing this podcast? So
yeah,
last year, November 28th, I posted a video on X, mostly just to see what people would say, because a buddy of mine just made a web app for Musio. Basically, what it is it's a MIDI generator that takes a prompt and, you know, gives you MIDI data that you can then drag into your DAW and perform the instruments from Musio. So I was like, it already is possible with the newest tools that OpenAI made it accessible to non-technical people like myself. And I was able to build this using there's like an assistant API. And so my friend and I just made it really easy so that you could just have it as a web app. And I made a video just typing in like, a piece for flute and harp and like for a fantasy video game or something. And then it generated the MIDI. I showed the video of it playing the music back with the instruments in Musio. I was like, okay, I mean, it's kind of cool. I was like, I'm impressed that this was even possible so easily without having to hire some big team, right? So I put it up there to see like, what would people think? And I wrote, uh-oh, we whipped up an AI MIDI generator web app for Musio. So I posted and I got like a ridiculous amount of comments.
Yeah, there were a lot.
Shares and bookmarks and retweets and all this stuff. And I would say mostly people were cordial, I think, trying to have productive conversation. Some people said, you're going to single-handedly destroy the music industry. some people said, don't do this, Mike. This is horrible. Some people said, I think this is really exciting. I want this now. So it was like a real mixture, but it definitely was a heated, and I put it out there exactly at a very heated time where everyone was talking about music and AI. And, that's the best kind of feedback you can get as the owner of a company. Cause you don't know, you do stuff in a vacuum most of the time. So it was really good to put that out there because it allows us to be like, okay, what should we actually build? If we just put this out there, are we just going to piss everybody off? Or is it going to be something that's actually useful that people want? So that's where we are right now, is like, this technology is coming for better or for worse. There's going to be pros, there's going to be cons. And I think that's what we're going to discuss today.
Yeah.
And how do we navigate that? And we're seeing, a lot of other companies navigating this as well. Some are doing it kind of right. Some are making big mistakes. So, this is this is why I wanted to have this conversation.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a new sort of like Wild West type of tech, just like a lot of tech has been really over the last maybe decade or two. But this one's so new and it's developing so fast that it's something that we kind of have to like talk about. We're a music tech company, right? And if we don't consider it, everybody else is. So it's something that's on our plate and in front of us.
Yeah. And it needs to be a transparent conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's a truth to this that's really uncomfortable. And yes. I think we need to address that big change is coming. And look, I don't like change. And I'm the owner of a company, which is probably a bad combination. You need to change and you need to adapt in order to, because you can't just rest on your laurels, especially if you're creative and can't just think that things that it worked for the last 5 years are going to continue into the future. So
yeah,
that's kind of part of the discussion. And AI is just one of those things. It's going to be a big change. I don't think it's going to ruin our lives, but we have to adapt. So
yeah, there are a lot of different ways that it could go. But like, so before we dive into the conversation here, just to kind of level set, why don't each of us go around and just give a brief overview of our own personal feelings about AI. Steve, why don't you start us off?
Sure. So my role with Musio is I'm dealing directly with the customers. I run the customer service department, and we are getting the feedback, the same kind of feedback that Mike is getting from his post on X, all types. You know, we're hearing the full spectrum of opinions and ideas and wants and hopes and dreams and wishes that things could happen or things that wouldn't happen. And we take it all in. And my perspective on this is heavily informed by that, you know, what we're hearing from other people. And as far as my own personal feelings, I agree with a lot of the hype. I think that AI technology is something that's incredibly cool, incredibly powerful, incredibly fun to play with and to explore, and can do all kinds of crazy things that we couldn't do with, you know, the kind of language models that we had a few years ago. I think that there is a lot of fear around what it might do for creative industries like composing and all of that, which may or may not be warranted. My take on this is that for people who need music for media and want to work with a composer are going to work with a composer because they already have other options to get their music for free or for low cost or through some other way. They can work with a student who's going to do it for peanuts. They can license music from a music library. They can get music that's public domain. I mean, one of the best examples of this is Always Sunny in Philadelphia. One of the longest running series of all time now has, very famously used public domain music in their early seasons because they didn't have a music budget. And so it was all for free. And now it's, you know, iconic that public domain music that has become their theme. And that those options have always existed for filmmakers and game developers and animation producers and people who need music for their projects. One thing that I think AI will never be able to replace is the type of relationship that you develop as a composer working with a client and working with a director and getting inside each other's minds and helping bring the creative vision to life. If you get a composing gig and you get hired again for the sequel and you get hired again for more projects by the same people, that has more to do with your relationship with those people than it does. I mean, obviously the quality of your work has to be up to snuff for the project too. But ultimately, if you're getting hired and rehired by the same people, it's because they like you and they want to keep working with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. How about you, Mike? What are your baseline feelings about AI?
I think it's cool, but what we all thought was we thought it was going to help us do our taxes, but the first thing that's come after is the artists, which is we thought that would be the last thing, you know, it'll never replace, you know, the visual arts. I will say music, maybe I'm biased. I don't know. This could be a biased opinion being a musician myself, but music is kind of unique as far as the arts are concerned. When people listen to music, this is at least how I do. When I listen to music, I'm thinking about the creator of that music. I'm usually thinking, oh, this is, this is inspired, you know, or you're thinking about what that person was going through when they wrote it. You know, there's a human component to it that I think is not really, you can't really achieve with AI. You can get close. I think there could be approximations that can simulate. It's going to be, that's what AI is. It's a, what do you call it? An imitator. It imitates really well.
Yeah.
But we all know, like, as film composers, and Steve knows, cause he's done this too, you have to be an imitator. And I know that, like, a lot of the stuff that I've written for projects is kind of has been phoned in. Don't tell anybody that, but like, sometimes you got to crank it out real fast, and it's not always inspired. You just gotta, okay, we want something to sound like this. That, you know, it needs to sound like from this movie, or it's temped with some other exactly. score or whatever.
Yeah.
You're kind of duplicating it, and that it,
yeah,
it
you
got to
do like
task.
A sound alike. Yeah.
Yeah. And it does the job, but it's not affecting people's emotions in a deep way. You know, every once in a while you get a chance to write something that really comes from the heart, and, you know, so maybe AI will be useful for those times where you just need to crank something out that isn't, it's just sort of utilitarian music. And that'll be useful. But yeah, I mean, that's where the rub is, I think, is.
Yeah. I kind of come from a like my initial position on AI has always been pretty staunchly anti AI. You know, I have a whole YouTube channel that's called The Art of Sucking at Music. That's all about like not taking shortcuts and understanding that learning how to play music or learning any skill requires work, and it requires time and effort and those kinds of things. However, lately, especially like working with CineSamples and doing those kinds of like doing the video stuff and thumbnails and all of that stuff, it's like I've been using a lot more AI, and there are I've been seeing it integrated in certain ways that that support the creator. They don't replace the creator. And I am actually kind of like in favor of continuing to build tools that support creators, but I also have to realize that that's not exactly the world that we live in. Like it's available to everybody. And just as much as, you know, smaller creators like you or me might want to have AI tools that support our process, there's also like big corporations that want to have AI tools that support their bottom line. And so it could go in a lot of different directions, and it probably will go in many different directions at once. Some of them will be positive for music and the arts. Some of them will be negative for music and the arts. And we're just going to have to see which one of those wins out. But I'm wary of it, but I'm also understanding or beginning to understand the benefits of it too. But yeah, let's get into it. In the spirit of a discussion about AI, I thought it would be kind of a fun little twist to guide our conversation using questions that were written by AI. So I logged into ChatGPT and I wrote it this prompt, and I've got the questions right here. I wrote, "Can you give me 10 questions to help spark and guide a thoughtful conversation about the nuances and implications of artificial intelligence in music?" And I actually got to say, like, the questions that it gave me were pretty good. So I figured maybe what we can do to guide this podcast is just kind of go through these questions one by one. We'll take them one at a time, and then we'll just see how far we get, like how many of them we can get through. How do you guys feel about
that? Perfect merging of AI and humans. There we go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, how do you think artificial intelligence is reshaping the creative process in music and the arts? And what potential benefits or challenges does it bring to artists? We kind of already talked about this a little bit, but we can continue that discussion.
I would say in terms of visual arts, it's definitely changing a lot of things with Midjourney, and Photoshop obviously has all its built-in stuff that can extend the canvas, or you can have things added to it.
Mm-hmm.
Music seems to be the last thing to have been adapted to AI. My friend Greg Lehrman over at Output, they just released a really cool tool for their product Arcade, which is kind of what they call co-producer, which generates a sample pack for you, which I think is a really clever way of doing it. You know, you type in a prompt, anything, and it will go through their catalog of sounds and generate a unique combination of things. And it gives you several options, and then you can kind of choose the starting point that you want to go with.
So it doesn't create the samples for you. It sort of aggregates a unique sample pack from pre-existing samples for you.
That's what I understand. Yeah. I don't want to speak out of turn. Like, I don't know technically what's happening, but it's something that it's all there because they have so many sounds, right?
Right.
You know, I applaud them for taking that approach. Like two, you got to wear two hats. You're the owner of a business and you're also a music creator. And so you got to like weigh both of those things. And so that seems to be the right way forward, I think.
Sure. Because
it's not replacing music creators. It's actually inspiring them, you know,
right.
It's helping you. And that, like, if you think about when you're working with a virtual instrument or a plugin or something, you do have a starting point. It could be some like really inspiring sound. That's just like, oh, that's really cool. That's the start of my cue. Let me just put that down first.
Yeah. And then there's that. And then there's like sequencers as well and stuff like that too, where you can kind of, you know, or arpeggiators where you can kind of like play a chord and it'll maybe give you a little bit of an idea. Those
right.
starting point tools have kind of been around for a really long time for sure.
Yeah.
Drum loops and all that. Yeah. Because there's
yeah.
so many ways to come up with a musical idea, and you can use so many different musical ideas as the foundation of an entire piece. So whether you're starting from a rhythmic perspective with a drum beat or a drum loop, or even a ostinato pattern on a melodic instrument, or if you're starting with a melody, or if you're that's you know played on a flute or a violin or a human voice, or if you're playing through chord progressions and you know find a chord progression that you like, and then starting from any of those places, you can build a whole composition based on that starting idea. And where mm-hmm. I think there's a really cool opportunity with AI is in developing those ideas. There's a book by Aaron Copland, the composer, who he wrote a book for the layperson as a composer called What to Listen For in Music. And it goes through chapter by chapter explaining how to hear rhythm and melody and harmony and tone color and different instrumentations and all of the different ways that composers view these things and use them as the basis for what they do to create and develop a theme. And he talks about how a composer starts with a musical idea, and sometimes that inspiration strikes without warning. There's no, you know, sometimes we've all had this experience as music creators where we come up with some of our best ideas when we're in no way near our studio or
inopportune time.
Yeah, exactly. in the shower or driving home and stuck in traffic or something. And, you know, thank goodness for voice memos and being able to record, you know, hum an idea into that. But as a foundation, and now in the world of you know, with electronic production and sample libraries and virtual instruments, we have so many cool sounds at our disposal that never existed in Aaron Copland's time. Mm-hmm. So you can get inspired by a sound effect or a musical idea or a you know, an arpeggiated synth preset, you know, anything that that you have at your fingertips can be the basis of a track. And so an idea that I've had that I think that could be really cool for an AI integration is, hey, here's my melody, here's my theme, rearrange this or reorchestrate this as a 1940s jazz ballad or as a classical ballet style piece or in the style of a modern film score for an action cue and get a bunch of different options for how to further develop that theme. Because sometimes we get stuck in an 8-bar loop and we love that 8-bar loop, and then when it's time to go to something else, we ruin the entire track and give up on the project and maybe come back to it later and Frankenstein it in with something else. But that's one of the ways that I think that there's a cool opportunity to
yeah. Yeah. I mean, like in terms of, you know, how we're seeing it reshape the creative process currently, right? I gave the example of some of the tools that I've been using. So like, for instance, when I was working on the Iceland video, I had all of these different interviews that I had conducted with like Mike and Santi and Vegar. And it was, you know, each interview was like an hour and a half long. So there are these big you know, conversations where I had to go through and pick out sound bites and stuff like that and build a story. And normally the way that you would do that is you would print out the transcripts and then you would go through manually looking at actual paper with transcripts on it, and you would highlight the sound bites that you want, and then you would take those, put those on a piece of paper, you know, and then arrange them sort of in a way, you know, maybe in your computer or in a Word document, arrange them in a way that tells a story. And then you would have to make sure that you had the time codes for everything and you knew where everything was within the interview. And then you would go through and you would use the time codes to find those bits in the interviews and then put them together in a timeline. One of Premiere's new AI features is it'll, you know, automatically sort of like construct a transcript of each interview for you, which is really cool. It's not always perfect. You know, sometimes it gets words wrong, but for the most part, it's really good. But then they also have this new feature now that's like called text-based editing. So if you have the raw interview open and you have the transcript open and you're going through and you're reading through it looking for something, you can like say, you know, I wanted to have a soundbite of someone saying something about the culture of Iceland. I could type in culture and then it would highlight all of the times that, you know, Mike said culture or cultural. Nice. Or something like that. And then I could find the soundbite that I wanted and I could highlight from the word that I wanted him to start at to the word that I wanted him to end at and then grab it from the transcript. So the text and drag it into my timeline and it would populate. Wow. Yeah. And it would populate the appropriate in and out points for the footage.
I was wondering how you make these videos so fast, Chris.
The Iceland video is the only time that I've done that. It was the first time that I've used it. It's a brand new feature in Premiere and it's really, really cool. So that's one way that I see it reshaping the creative process where I'm like, that's super useful, right? Because it takes a process that's usually extremely tedious. It's not like it replaces the need to learn how to edit videos. It just makes a certain process of it that's usually very tedious, a lot easier and faster. But you still have to be a good video editor to use it.
You still have to, right. And I think that brings up an interesting point about how with people talking about how everything is going to change with AI, the misconception, in my opinion, that it replaces the need for technical skill or knowledge, that is a misconception. Mm-hmm. You still need to understand the concepts and the fundamentals of what makes a well-edited video, what makes a good piece of music, what makes a good script with a good story structure that makes these things applicable and pleasing to the human consumer, who's at the end of the day the person who's going to ostensibly be paying for this thing that makes it worth putting, you know, effort into creating. That's something that you can use AI to learn about. And that's something, I mean, I'm probably getting ahead of ourselves in the next 9 questions that we've got coming up, but one of the best applications is for learning how to understand these things better. It's not going to be able to teach you how to play piano because it can't move your hands for you and develop the dexterity and the rhythmic control and the physical motor skills required to do that. But it can explain the history of how a piano that we know as we know it came to be built and the construction of it. And one of my favorite ways to use ChatGPT and AI technology for learning is you can ask it a specific question and get a direct answer. And, you know, it used to be you had to Google something. If you had a specific question, you Google something and then it gives you a bunch of articles and then you have to comb through the articles. And most of the information in those articles goes over your head, because the reason I asked the question in the first place is because